It seems to me that every baby, every child, is in some way an intrusion, whether it comes early or comes late, planned pregnancy or planned adoption, comes in your young age or your middle age, every baby is in some way an intrusion. I remember well when my first child was born. In some ways it seems like yesterday, in other ways it seems like it was 100 years ago. I remember staring over the crib with amazement that one so small, so tiny and so fragile, was so capable of utterly disrupting and turning our lives completely upside down. Every baby is an intrusion, but this baby that we celebrate this evening, this child who is born among us, this Jesus, is especially intrusive, come to turn our lives upside down. We can see this in the narratives of his birth. While it was a great cause of joy for many, it was also a cause of huge consternation for some. When Mary sings her Magnificat, she foretells the advent of a Savior who is the causing of the rising up of the oppressed and the falling down of the high and the mighty. Her song is a victory chant of triumph, God at last getting the world that God wants all along, and God getting it through the miracle of this infant child, this intrusive one. And that's why we're here this evening, here on the basis of a child. We gather here in some way to receive this one, this baby Jesus. And again, as you know from the Christmas story, this one was not received by all. The angels who we heard, who disrupted the heavens and sang their songs of joy, saw this birth as good news. But not everybody thought it was good news. We read the shepherds were filled with fear. King Herod, despite the fact that he has soldiers guarding him up in the palace, was so afraid, he immediately saw this child's birth as a threat to his empire. Or even closer to home, even Joseph, engaged to Mary, didn't really sort of readily receive this one. Jesus was conceived by a woman who wasn't married to anyone. I remember growing up, we had words for such babies. Thankfully, I don't hear such words so much anymore. It used to be called illegitimate. What a horrible word for anybody, much less the Son of God. Hundreds of us gather here this evening, millions around the world, all in some way here to receive this baby, to welcome, to embrace, the Word made flesh, the Word who dwelt among us. And we sing as best we can, come, let us adore him. But did you notice there's a counter miracle going on here at the same time? Yes, we are here gathered to receive this child. But this one is also here to receive us in the birth of Jesus. Because we can't come to God, we see God coming to us. If you're so inclined, after a long evening, to come to church tomorrow morning, you will hear the words from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Though I suppose now having said that, you don't have to come tomorrow morning, but there we go. But that's at least John's way of speaking about Christmas, about a baby born in Bethlehem, about the miracle of an incarnation. Did you notice what John says about Christ? Christ, or the Word, as John likes to say. This one was in the beginning. It reminds us, of course, of the beginning in Genesis, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. So the birth of Christ harkens back all the way to the very beginning, to the creation of the world. And John makes the audacious claim that this Christ was there at the beginning, already with God before the world began. And in fact, John even goes so far as to imply that this Christ had a hand in creation. If that's true, then Jesus is not some afterthought, some sort of God's plan B because we screwed up plan A. Jesus is with God. Christ is there from the beginning. Not just sort of God improved, but very God, with us from the beginning. And yet still now, after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, standing there beside us, acting there for us, sharing our humanity with us, God. That must mean that God did not become something in Jesus Christ that God was not. From the beginning, we read, God is love. And down through the ages, God loves us. And now in Christ, God's love is becoming manifestly clear to us, enfleshed and near to us. This God in Christ has always and will be always with us. It's almost as though in the birth of Jesus, God says, you want to know who I am? You want to know what I want for you? You want to know what I'm up to in the world? You want to know what I have always been and where I am going? Then look at that one from Nazareth, that one born of Mary. That one is God made manifest to us. So that means behind our Christmas story, there is a deep claim. From the beginning, God promised that he would be our God, that God would save us from ourselves and do what we could not do for ourselves. So for the Lord had promised us, no matter what we would do to one another, what we do to ourselves, the Holy One would never ever desert us, would never ever give up on us, and would keep finding some sort of way to come close to us, that we might in turn come close to God. And the birth of this baby, this intrusive one, is the last and latest chapter in that long story of God's divine determination to be for us and to have us now and always. From the first days of our human history, it seems as though God loves to take all our bad news, the bad news about us and about the world, and somehow, some mysterious way, transform it into good news. It seems that in this case, then Jesus does not come close to us because our sin is so bad that God finally had to sort of do something to fix the mess. Though it is true that only God can solve the problem between us and God and the problem between us and one another. God doesn't seem to wait for us to make the right decision, to let ourselves be loved by God before he first loves us. And so this baby comes to us, intrudes upon us, because that's what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit always do. Keep reaching out, keep lifting up the lowly, keep casting down the proud and the mighty, taking on flesh, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. In many and various ways, God spoke to us of old by the prophets. But now in these latter days, God has spoken to us by a son, one part of Scripture says. The Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, coming to us that we might behold and come to God. But before we congratulate ourselves on our willing and eager acceptance of this child, let us at least ponder for a moment this evening the child's reception of you and me. The child who reaches out to us before we ever thinking about reaching out to God. the child who takes on our humanity, on our flesh, so that we in some mysterious way might assume some of God's divinity. It's interesting to me in the church, we speak almost casually about something that seems to me to be nothing short of a miracle when we say things like, "You are a child of God." I mean, we have been made children of God in our new birth and baptism by the great grace and gift of God who reaches down to us in the incarnation and calls us his own. That must mean that this night, then, a baby, a wonderful baby, has now been born into your family. By that baby, that wonderful baby, you and me and all of us here have been made sisters and brothers together. Maybe you're here because you've got family visiting here. Maybe you don't have family here because they live far away. Maybe you're here alone because family have died or estranged. But do you hear? Do you hear tonight? A little bit of movement in the pews, a little rustling? This is your family. This is our family. Something begun in baptism. It gathers shape in the manger, on the cross, on the empty tomb. We together gather around this table and share food together. The Word has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. What is that Word? The Word is a miracle. The love of the Father has given to us that we are called children of God by this one, this intrusive one who has come to us and in turn invites us to come to him. Thanks be to God. Amen.